Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
And good morning to you. Keyshawn's here. LZ is here. And as Chris mentioned, I'm John Ireland, pinch hitting for Travis. I want to go back to the conversation we were just having about Jake Fromm. I want to clear something up. It did take place in 2019. It did appear yesterday on Twitter, but it was actually a text exchange he was having with friends. I assume he thought that was private in 2019. But LZ, does that make a difference whether it's a text exchange or a tweet? That's how the guy feels, right? Does it make a difference to you that he may have thought it was private?
Well, it makes a difference in terms of what the NFL and how the Buffalo Bills respond. You know, now they got they are able to say we didn't know, and it's believable that they didn't know, and it's all fine, good, and dandy. How he's accepted in the locker room, listen, Riley Cooper is caught on tape yelling the N-word, and he was still able to play not just that season but other seasons and got an extension. So for me, once you see that, then you can assume that he's going to be able, if he can play, he's going to get the opportunity to say he's sorry, maybe do a little counseling. You know how you guys are going to throw a little racial counseling thing in there for a little bit, for a couple of days.
So silly.
And then, so it's real talk, though.
Do. No, I know it's real talk, but it's just funny that you said that.
Mel Gibson got busted calling everybody everything but a child of God, went and did a little rehab, and now he's getting an Academy Award nomination. So we know how these things work. Rehab covers a multitude of sin. So you send him off to counseling. You know, he says a couple things about Frederick Douglass or something. Then you just keep it moving.
All right. We earlier in the show, we did a snake draft about apologies. By the way, Jake Fromm issued an apology, too. Everybody's apologizing these days. Raj, what's the status?
When's
of
yours
poll?
Coming?
Yeah, well, actually, it's funny. We have breaking news. It looks like John Ireland might be trying to go one for one, y'all. I mean, he has 56% of the votes right now. LZ is with 21 in last, and Keyshawn second and 23. But this is a wide gap here. Usually those gaps that wide don't get closed on the show. So you may go one for one in terms of morning show snake draft championships.
I'm actually
John.
Surprised because I thought LZ had the best pick in the draft when he said Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction. I had the safest pick because I took Michael Vick.
Yeah, you went safe.
Michael Vick.
But you took somebody, though, John.
Yeah.
You took yourself, John. He took himself.
I was a seventh round draft pick at the end, LZ. Come on, I thought.
But you know, you were a sixth round draft pick, and you ended up being Tom Brady.
See, on top of that, John, in this world that we live in, people treat their dogs better than they do human beings.
Yeah. Pete is up early too, listening. So they like, oh, they bought Mike's apology, so they're voting for you, John. You got Pete on your side.
Well, here's the thing, too. Key, didn't Michael Vick? Isn't that almost a textbook example of how to apologize? Like he went to work with animal rights organizations. He became an advocate for them. He didn't do a lot of interviews.
But he also understood what he did in the magnitude of it when he was blind by it because of the culture in Virginia at fighting dogs and raising dogs. That's something that was a culture in certain parts of the South. They do stuff like that. So it wasn't to the mass. It was different, but to him and his boys, that was like they thought that was just like a normal thing. So once his eyes was opened up to it, he got it. He realizes who he could step up to the podium and be real with it and do the right things that he was supposed to do. I don't even think he has. Does he? I don't think he was allowed to have any more dogs after that, right?
I thought he, LZ, didn't he want one? He said, I want to one day work myself up where I'm worthy of having a dog for a bit. But, I mean, the animal rights people, we've had them on our show. They love Michael Vick now. He completely turned that around because he put his money where his mouth was. He invested in a lot of animal rights causes. And he'll go and speak to people about the dangers of dog fighting now. I mean, what Michael Vick did is what Drew Brees is hoping he can do. I don't know if Drew Brees will be able to do it, but Michael Vick was. He was able to do it. Oh, that music only means one thing. The great Michael Thompson is here. I talked to Michael yesterday. He told me his wife, Julie, is desperately ready for him to go back to work. And Michael, yesterday we got the word we're going back. Games next month. What do you think?
Yeah, I hope you guys can hear me down here, all the way down here in OC. Yeah, but I'm excited, man. You know, I'll take any format. If we have to go down there and be isolated, if broadcasters have to do it, I'm willing to do it. We need to get sports back as soon as possible, and all the leagues and colleges, everything. So this is a good first step. So I'm excited, and let's hope the players will vote on it today, I hope, and we can start getting things arranged.
Michael, who is hurt most by a lack of home court advantage? What are some of the dynamics of a team that would be undermined by not having their home team or their home crowd cheer for them for at least three games in the playoff series?
Yeah, it's going to be weird for everybody, but I think the teams that are going to be hurt the most are the lower seeds, the 7-8 seeds, the Memphis, Orlando, teams like that, who are going to need a whole lot of help from their fans to overcome huge odds. So teams, the favorites like Milwaukee and, you know, the Lakers, the Clippers, they could win anywhere and under any circumstances because they're championship-caliber teams. But the teams in the lower seeds, they're the ones who are going to need all the help they can get from their fans, and they're definitely going to be missing them, not playing in their own arenas.
Well, Michael, what about Denver?
So just as doesn't a quick follow-up.
Doesn't Denver lose a lot because they play in altitude?
Hey, they lost to Portland last year in Game 7 on their home court in altitude.
Yeah, good
they
point.
They could be playing
good
at 60,000 feet. It don't make no difference for them.
At the end of the day, you know, at the end of the day, Mike, everyone seems to think that, you know, the layoff for LeBron and some of the older players in the Lakers is going to not benefit them. And I keep trying to tell people, if anything, with a guy like LeBron, the rest on top of his work ethic is going to re-energize him when he steps back on the court, along with Dwight Howard, along with JaVale McGee, some of these old Rondo, some of the older players. Do you feel the same way?
You're exactly right, Keyshawn. See, you guys just need to listen to a world-class athlete like Keyshawn. When you have a guy like LeBron, LeBron reminds me of a fighter who never gets out of shape between fights. And guys like Floyd Mayweather. Floyd Mayweather never put on weight between fights. He could get ready to fight within a matter of weeks. And that's how LeBron is, man. He's always in shape, always working out. He's the ultimate professional when it comes to physical fitness. Reminds me of LZ.
Yeah, except I'm too scared to get in the ring. Michael, obviously, you know, when you think about the favorites, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks are the clear front runners for their record and talent roster as well. But who do you have your eye on as a sleeper team that, you know, may not necessarily find themselves in the finals, but you would be shocked that they were in a conference finals and we're overlooking them?
Toronto. I mean, I know they're not a kind of sleeper, but, you know, they won it last year with Kawhi. But, man, they have been playing like champions, like they had something to prove. Like last year wasn't a fluke, despite the injuries to the Warriors, that they could have won anyway, and they could have won without Kawhi. So they've been playing with that kind of a chip on their shoulder, like they have something to prove, like they are worthy champions. And I know they're one of the top teams in the East, but everybody's talking about Milwaukee, possibly Boston, or even Philadelphia. They're sort of overlooking Toronto because they're north of the border, and they don't have their stud with them this year.
Michael, I was looking yesterday. I was reading an article about how they were – projecting awards, and most people are predicting that Giannis will win the MVP. He's led Milwaukee to the best record. I would argue LeBron's just as worthy, but I would have no problem if Giannis gets it. They both have had spectacular years. But I was looking at they were speculating on Defensive Player of the Year, and Giannis was the favorite to win that too. And I love Giannis. He's a great player. But isn't Anthony Davis the Defensive Player of the Year? The Lakers have the best record in the toughest conference, and he's the anchor of their whole defense. He's changed everything they do defensively. Is AD a worthy Defensive Player of the Year, or am I just being a homer?
No question about it, man. This guy can go out and defend the Steph Currys and the James Hardens, and he can defend
all five positions.
As well as Rudy Gobert does. So I agree with you, man. Anthony Davis should get it because – even though Giannis is an excellent defender, too, Anthony can guard every area of the court, man. He is just a phenomenal defensive player, more so than Rudy Gobert does. Rudy's great in the paint, but Rudy can't go out on the perimeter and guard those, move his feet. But Anthony Davis can.
What exactly does Anthony Davis do defensively that Giannis cannot? Because I'm trying to think, and honestly, I can't think of anything in which I look and go, oh, yeah, Giannis is clearly worse at AD at this defensively.
I think nothing, elite. Nothing, no, Michael, like elite Giannis post does. Defender. AD is a better. Giannis is a great post defender, but AD's a little longer. And I would argue that if you're trying to stop, there aren't very many of them left. But you mentioned Rudy Gobert. I would think Anthony Davis defensively is better than Giannis guarding Gobert, don't you?
Yeah, I agree. Because, like I said, he moves his feet the way that like a guard does. Remember, he was a guard growing up, and he hasn't lost those footwork skills. And that's what separates him. It makes him better to me on defense than Giannis or Rudy Gobert.
But doesn't he play more like you hit it. You said move his feet because he played guard growing up. But he's not as aggressive. He's more, and I don't, and this is me saying it, not you, he's more timid to me inside than either one of those twos, than Giannis or Rudy Gobert inside.
Timid.
Timid. Oh, I disagree with that.
Are you kidding me? You go to the basket on AD, man. He's gonna make you change your shot, or he's gonna block your shot, Keyshawn. You got to come to more games, man.
Yeah, Key, no, that's just not, seen, that's no, not
he just
accurate.
Doesn't seem. He just doesn't seem. Maybe it's just my eyes telling me he doesn't seem as aggressive.
Yeah,
and I have been saying this Key, the entire time.
I can tell you, you're wrong. I mean, obviously, okay. Michael and I see every game.
Well, I didn't ask you. I asked Michael.
Well, next time you see AD, do what Michael does and check out his body. Check out how strong he is, upper body, and how physical he is. I think because he's long, Michael, sometimes people don't look at what kind of shape AD is in. But he is in elite shape.
It's not that. It's just he doesn't – he appears at times not as aggressive as I would have liked to have seen, I guess.
No, man.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. No, maybe because he doesn't growl. He doesn't remind you so much like an Alonzo Mourning type interior defender. But he does it with finesse and intelligence and subtlety. And you try to score around the basket on him, man, he just comes out of nowhere to change your shot. Or if you one-on-one on him and you go up trying to score over him, and he makes you take some awkward-looking shots. He is great. He is great on defense.
All right, Michael Thompson is with us. Go ahead, LZ.
What about the other guy that's in the Lakers, a defensive player of the year? You know, we like to gravitate towards the big man because they get the blocks and the stats are easy to calculate. But I don't know if it's because there's been a resurgence or because I watched him against Kawhi and Giannis the last weekend of the NBA season before the postponement. But LeBron James defensively out there in the perimeter with the steals and the way that he's still sort of the anchor in terms of being vocal out there. Does he not deserve some consideration as well, enough to get votes?
He'll get some votes, but LeBron now at this stage of his career, LZ, has to pick his spot. For 40 minutes, you know, he can't do it. In the fourth quarter, he will turn it on when the game's on the line. But for the most part, he has to be more of an Ed Reed free safety type in the first half, trying to conserve his energy. But in the playoffs, you're right. I think he will ratchet up his defense for the full 48 minutes or full 40 minutes he'll be on the floor because it is the playoffs. But yeah, he's still a great defensive player himself, LZ.
I'll tell you this, LZ, that if at the end of games when the Lakers need a stop, if they can put on the court all at one time LeBron, Danny Green, Anthony Davis, and Dwight Howard, it doesn't really matter who the fifth guy is. They can lock up anybody. That defensive group, those four, are as good defensively. Michael, is really any – I mean, the Clippers are probably the other comparison. You know, they could put four defenders out there at once that can really lock people up. But that's a kind of a secret weapon that the Lakers have, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. They've got finishing five on defense, and all those guys can also score, too. In their own way. So you're right. That is a great finishing five. And that or whoever is going to be that fifth guy is going to be there. Maybe a Rondo. Maybe a Caruso. They love the way Caruso plays.
I like Caruso.
Yeah. You got to give that guy credit.
I like Caruso's read. Yeah.
And by the way, he plays great with that group. He plays great with those four. His numbers are through the roof. Michael, stay safe. I can't wait for us to get back out there and do the game. Now we just got to keep our fingers crossed that that everything goes well and we don't hit any roadblocks.
Yeah,
remember to stay safe.
We've got to get baseball back to work.
That's right. Yep, for people who don't know, Michael's son is a baseball player. Mike, you think they're going to make a deal?
Well, I talk to Trace all the time. He's with the Arizona Diamondbacks now, and he's just waiting around to get the call, hitting every day. But I think the owners are just being stubborn. I don't know why the owners don't get it, fellas, that if they come back now, accept the player's proposal, people will just flock to the games on TV, and their popularity will be bigger than ever. The baseball owners don't get it.
Yeah, probably. All right, Michael, thank you, man. Stay safe. Yeah, I'm here. Keyshawn's here. LZ is here. And we're getting you through the morning of what has been a crazy week in Los Angeles, filled with protest, mostly peaceful. But there have been curfews and looting, and it's just that we've never seen anything like it in the city of Los Angeles. And, of course, in sports, one of the big stories over the past couple of days has been Saints quarterback Drew Brees, a two-time NFL Man of the Year, who was very popular with teammates, fans, and pretty much everybody in the league until 2 days ago, when he made a statement on the CNBC Business Channel, and it became blatantly clear that he didn't understand why Colin Kaepernick was protesting. He either didn't understand it or he just didn't agree with it. And players have reacted all over the league. And yesterday, guys, a video was put together by the elite players in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes, Ezekiel Elliott, Odell Beckham, Michael Thomas, Saquon Barkley, just a few of the people that are in this video, which was in response to the Drew Brees controversy. Here's that video and what it sounds like. It's been playing on social media and on television stations all over the country for the past 24 hours.
It's been 10 days since George Floyd was brutally murdered.
How many times do we need to ask you to listen to your players?
What will it take
for one of us to be murdered by police brutality?
What if I was George Floyd?
If I was George Floyd?
What if I was George Floyd?
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 I am George Floyd.
I am Breonna Taylor.
I am Ahmaud Arbery.
I am Eric Garner.
I am Laquan McDonald.
I am Tamir Rice.
I am Trayvon Martin.
I am Walter Scott.
I am Michael Brown Jr.
I am Samuel Du Bois.
I am Frank Smart.
I'm Philip White.
I am Jordan Baker.
We will not be silenced.
We assert our right
to peacefully protest.
It shouldn't take this long to admit.
So, on behalf of the National Football League,
this is what we, the players,
would like to hear you state.
We, the National Football League,
condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people.
We, the National Football League,
admit wrong and silencing our players from peacefully protesting.
We, the National Football League,
believe black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
Black lives matter.
So that's the video. Keyshawn, it just was reported by Clarence Hill, a pretty good NFL reporter, that your nephew, Michael Thomas, the all-pro wide receiver from the Saints who led the NFL in receiving last year, was the guy who organized that, was the guy who put it all together. What are your thoughts on that video?
It's huge. It's good. Seeing guys like Patrick Mahomes, the future of the NFL at the quarterback position, Saquon Barkley, the future of the NFL at the running back position, Michael Thomas, you spoke about him, Offensive Player of the Year, Ezekiel Elliott. You got guys like this that are pushing their voice to the NFL, not somebody that's in the back room telling the NFL what to say. You got this person who's a player, who's generating revenue, who's getting the TV ratings up for you. These players, it's big, man. This is what it's supposed to be. Guys like this are supposed to step up and voice their opinions and have the NFL wake up. And hopefully they get it. Hopefully they get it, opposed to the generic message that they, a statement that they put out several days ago. This is what it's supposed to sound like, right? The words, the racism, and just like, that's what you're supposed to hear.
LZ, I've been making the argument.
And if the commissioner, if the commissioner has learned anything over the last four seasons in regards to this space, is that he needs to make sure that the other owners don't make the same mistake that Drew Brees has made, because they're going to be protesting when the season starts.
Absolutely.
And you can talk about whether or not you personally would take a knee during the national anthem, but do not conflate what the players are protesting with being anti-military, questioning their patriotism, questioning whether or not, you know, there's black-on-black crime in Chicago that needs to be addressed. Don't do any of that. What you need to do is remind your fan base that this act is just as patriotic as standing with your hand covering your heart during the song being played, because that flag represents freedom. And that freedom includes freedom of expression. And you can't cherry pick the meaning of freedom because you might lose some money, or worse yet, there might be some racist people who get offended that these black men dare join hands and say, we can no longer accept police brutality. Don't do that, Commissioner. Don't do that, Goodell. You've already made that mistake too many times already. Please don't do that again in this moment.
LZ, you were out there in the streets working on your LA Times stuff, and I've been saying all week, but you'd be a better judge of it than I would, that this feels like a tipping point to me, what has happened over the past week and a half. It doesn't feel like other protests. It doesn't feel like even the whole controversy with Kaepernick 2-3 years ago. If you look at the complexion of the protesters, if you look at the fact that it's not just black people marching, or as Keyshawn said when he came on our show this week, look at the area codes. It's not just the black neighborhoods. It has gone into traditionally rich white neighborhoods, and there are people protesting from all races, that it feels like we've got a chance for real change here. Am I being naive, or do you agree with that?
You ever hear that phrase, Lord works in mysterious ways?
Sure.
When you look at what's different about this moment, don't think about the video, because, and this isn't to be, you know, flip, but we've seen these videos before, even down to a black man being killed by police officers, getting choked out, saying, I can't breathe. We've seen that before, right? What's different about the country, if not the world, right now? The pandemic has forced people to not be out. You can't go to the movies. You can't go watch a game. You can't go to a restaurant. You can't go to the theater. You can't distract yourself from the quote unquote real world. On top of that, you have a level of unemployment that's rivaling the Great Depression. So a lot more people are home. You know, so if you're employed, you might be working from home. And then obviously, if you got 40 plus million, you know, unemployed, they're home. And so you have this you have this combination of nowhere for you to go and run and hide and put your head in the sand, because we're on pause right now, for the most part, on top of the video, and on top of a resurgence of a generation of young people that are no longer waiting for the quote unquote adults in the room to take control and lead this charge. When I was covering Sunday's protest, I made a joke with one of the camera people I was working with. I was like, I miss the good old days when Al Sharpton was leading these marches because they walked slower. The young people were up front and they were moving. And we got to Bunker Hill and I was like, oh, come on, dog. Y'all ain't doing it. We did Bunker Hill. Now, I'm making a joke in regards to, you know, the fact that, you know, these young kids are moving fast. They got fresh legs and fresh energy. But there, if you really take a look, especially like here in the city of Los Angeles, what you're seeing now are some of the old heads past the baton. And so you have those three things happening at the same time. You have the video, which is the jumping off point. You have the quarantine, which has forced more people more than ever to have to deal with this problem because there's nowhere to run or hide. And then you have the young people coming of age, finding their voices, mobilizing, using social media to get the word out. So that's the reason why it's different. The only question is now, John and Key and everyone else, is now that you've got the energy up and you're going, how are you going to capitalize on this? How are you going to take the streets and get it into policy? Getting into substantial changes. You've heard things like defund the police department. They want to take money from the police department and put it towards things and more prevention areas as opposed to reactionary measures. That's one conversation. But I would argue there are about 3 or 4 bullet point items that this movement needs to focus in on that will have substantial change in the criminal justice system that will help us stop seeing these videos being produced and out there on social media in the first place.
Yeah, and there are some other good ones, too, that we'll share with you coming up. Keyshawn's here, LZ's here. I'm John Ireland, pinch hitting for Travis, ESPN LA.
It's your home speaking, and I need you to do me a couple of favors. First, could you get that blueberry that rolled under the fridge last week? It's throwing my feng shui off. Second thing, bundle your home and car insurance with GEICO. It's easy, and we could save money. Lastly, I know you were thinking of painting the nursery back to off-white, but I'm actually feeling this baby blue. Didn't think it was my color, but I am pulling it off.
GEICO. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis. I'm John Ireland, pinch hitting today. Everybody's here. It's the end of a week like we have never seen before in Los Angeles, and I've lived here most of my life, and you know, we've had unrest, we've had riots, we've had protests, we've had looting, but this feels different. It is, Keyshawn, I thought you were particularly astute when you came on our show earlier in the week when you said, pay attention to the area codes where things are happening. Pay attention to the neighborhoods where people are rising up, because even though you and I, you know, LZ didn't grew up in Michigan, but Key and I grew up here. Key, we've never seen certain parts of the city react like this.
No, it brings the goosebumps, the chills of your body when you, especially when it first happened. Like when I was out in Westlake for the first time and I saw it, I was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And then obviously I live in a predominantly, you know, white neighborhood, white area, and you see them genuinely protesting. I'm not doing it, you know, this ain't one of those, like the girl got caught in the video type deal. You know, she, the one that got fired. You seen that one, John? That
no.
Video where she act like she was helping clean up, and she had her boyfriend take a video of her.
Oh yeah, with the drill. Yeah,
drill. Yeah. This ain't one of them. This is like, it was the other day here, 2 days ago. It was, I would say, an estimated crowd of maybe 4,000 people in Calabasas walking the streets. I was like, oh, did I just get out of the SC basketball game or something? Because it was young people, young white people, white mothers with their young kids, black mothers with their mixed kids, teaching, you know, here. Everybody, it was peaceful. It was just different. It's a different feel. You can just tell it's different.
Okay, LZ, you've covered a lot of different political issues in a lot of different cities in your career. Did this feel different to you?
This definitely feels different to me as of right now. But now comes the hard part. And I know it sounds like I'm dismissing the protest and the organization that took place. I'm not. But the hard part is staying on message now that arrests have been made and the legal system is now involved. We may not see a trial for many, many months. Conviction for a year. It's very easy to slip back into comfort, kind of go, well, we took care of that, and then fall back into the same habits that got us here in the first place. What happening now is a conversation of sustainability. And you sustain this movement by taking the passion that you see in these streets all over the world, all over this country right now, and having bullet point items that community leaders can tell people, these are the issues that we're addressing. You can't stop racism, all right? You're not going to stop people from hating. You can't patrol racism. But what you can do is stop racist things from killing people and putting them in jails. And those are policy things that can be put in place. Don't get caught up in the idea of we're going to end racism. If you're a CEO or a VP right now listening to us, don't be putting out statements about stopping racism and then say, well, racism is too big and keep it moving. No, talk to your employees. Identify tangible things you can do within your company as well as the community in which you serve that can change these things. Because there's two or three things in every community that you can address that would help stop these things reoccurring.
You know, LZ, you're right about everything that you're saying, but this just feels different because the net is wider. And because the net is wider, we've been going through a lot of this literally by ourselves. Okay? I go back to the 1992 riots. Wasn't nothing on Melrose was touched. You know, nothing in certain areas was touched. It was all just us. And we ruined our community because we didn't own our community. where now we kind of own our community, and I think people know that, and they see that. And so they don't want to have us destroying their communities. So, and part of that is helping us and for them to wake up and realize and see and join forces with us. And I think that that is where things will continue. It's going to be slow. It ain't going to be 1 to 60 in a heartbeat. It's going to gradually continue to keep going. And because of everything that has happened, not just with George Floyd, but you got Breonna, you got Aubrey. I mean, you just got so many.
Yeah, all the other names are coming to the forefront.
Just,
you're right.
Just so many over and over and over and over and over. And crazy as it may sound, we're watching literally every single day the police still not understanding and hitting the protesters and treating the protesters wrong to the point where they're getting suspended. They're getting fired. They're getting suspended. It's just knocking it down, starting to knock it down slowly, slowly, slowly. So you still got all these eyeballs. Before, all these eyeballs saw it and turned their head. Now they zoomed in and they focused in and they stand right there.
All right. So something happened.
But, you know,
go ahead.
John, I just want to get this last part in here. White people who are protesting what's going on right now, you're not helping black people. You're helping yourself. Racism isn't a black disease. It's a country's disease. It's America's disease. So I appreciate you're out there in the streets and all the different area codes as Keyshawn talks about. But remember, you're not out there because you're trying to help black people alone. You're out there because this is paramount to help the country.
Guys, I want to piggyback on something LZ said earlier. What happens now? Okay, it does feel different now. We're all mad now. But words and protests and marches only go so far unless you translate that into action. There is something happening at Florida State. I don't know if you guys saw what happened earlier in the week. They have a new coach, a guy named Mike Norvell. And he came out and said in an interview, quote, "We've had a lot of open communication with our team, our players, and our coaches. I went back and forth individually with every player this weekend, and that was something that was important to me." As soon as Norvell said that, he's a brand new head coach. The players knew it wasn't true. And Marvin Wilson, who's a senior captain on the team, immediately tweeted out, "Man, this blank did not happen. We got a generated text that was sent to everybody. There was no one-on-one talk between us and coach. This is a lie. And me and my teammates as a whole are outraged. And we're not going to work out until further notice." And this is a brand new first-year head coach that obviously has a lot of control over Marvin Wilson and his career. But Wilson immediately called him on his crap. And now Norvell had to pull an about face. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but LZ, this goes back to what you were saying. What can we do moving forward? Wilson demanded a meeting with Norvell. Norvell admitted his mistake. And Wilson sent out a video last night. It's too long to play the video, but he basically said, "The players have all pledged to do a three-pronged plan. Number one, every player on the team will register to vote. Number two, the players will use their platforms to raise money and help more black people attend college. And number three, the players will use their platforms to raise money to help underprivileged people in and around Tallahassee." Now that, turning a controversy where your coach lied and flipping it into that, to me, is real action. What do you guys think?
No, it certainly is real action. And I always tell LZ and Raj and Travis, coaches don't do nothing but sit up and lie. We all know that. And he got called out on it because what he didn't
think. But
most
of the time players don't call him out, right?
Yeah, but what he didn't think, exactly, what he didn't think is that that was going to happen. But he ran up against the wrong player. He misjudged the situation. He miscalculated the situation. So, therefore, it bit him. Now he looks untrustworthy, and the players are doing something that they want to do. They're putting a movement together that they feel is going to change a lot of stuff, in particularly around Tallahassee. Not only that, players are now paying attention to vote, because if you vote and you put the people in office that you could trust, that you feel good about their policies and everything else. So it hats off to that young man, because it's not something that I would have thought about in college. I probably would have called my coach out, but everything else in terms of getting the players to vote, and I probably wouldn't even thought about those things in college. So hats off to the man. Hats off to him.
LZ, is that what you were looking for? Are you looking for, like, substantive action on behalf of the players, or is that still not enough?
No. It's a fantastic first start. Absolutely. And when I was giving my comments, I wasn't necessarily talking about the athletic community, but just, like, the community at large. Like, trying to fight racism is too big. It's like trying to fight. It's like trying to punch jelly.
Right.
You know, it's like it's like an amoeba. All right. So you need to think about this more systematically. When I had my conversation with Coach Anthony Land, and he said he wanted to make the world a better place, I asked him for specifics, because that's a big thing. Right. So we can only do so much with our time here on Earth. So what specific things can you do to address that, if connected to somebody else's thing, to someone else's thing, to somebody else's thing, can get us to the goal that we set before us? What happened with that young man is exactly what needs to happen in all the communities from a variety of different places. When I was in Ferguson, and I covered Michael Brown, the thing that shocked me most was that despite the town being overwhelmingly Black as well as Democratic, that they had a white, young Republican mayor. And I was asking around, how the hell did that happen? Not that there's anything wrong being young, white, or Republican, but it doesn't seem representative of the people. And that's when I learned that the people weren't voting. And now, this week, there is a Black female mayor in the city of Ferguson for the first time ever. And again, that's not in a condoning being white or being Republican, but she is actually reflective of the community she serves. And so to get out to vote is very, very important. So I'm so happy to see that young man mobilize the team like that. And I hope other teams take notice and start doing the same things on their campus and with their teams as well.
Good morning to you. Keyshawn's here, LZ's here. I'm John Ireland, sitting in for Travis. And guys, I can't imagine that there are people out there who don't fully grasp now, especially in the light of this Drew Brees story, why Colin Kaepernick was taking a knee. But apparently there are those people out there, and they continue to conflate the protesting of police brutality and racial injustice with the flag. And an interesting person went on TV last night and tried to explain it in a way I think makes sense, particularly to white people. I want to play it for you guys. This is TNT's Ernie Johnson, who his dad was a longtime broadcaster. His dad was in the Marines. Ernie explains why you can't conflate those two arguments. Listen to this, and then I'll have you guys react to it. Here's Ernie Johnson last night on TNT.
As you point out, Shaq, you talk about the military background in your family. And, you know, I have that too. And a dad who's a Marine, who was a Marine. And I can see the flag at my mother's house now, the flag that they folded at his funeral and handed to her. And I see that every time I go to the house. Here's the situation. You can fly the flag at your house. You can salute the flag. You can revere the flag. You can respect the flag. And all of those are fine. What you cannot do is use the flag as a blindfold. You can't use the flag as a blindfold and not see the things you've seen with your very eyes that tell you that what's keeping this country held back is this systemic racism. When you see these things happen, you can't be blinded by that. And it's said often, you know, my country right or wrong. But I think that needs to change to my country right our wrongs, because the wrongs are there, and it's up to us to take the initiative and be intentional. And for us to say, I'm going to be uncomfortable. I am going to listen to somebody I normally wouldn't listen to. I'm going to read something I normally wouldn't read. And I'll tell you something. I didn't know anything about Killer Mike till last Friday. And now I'll never forget him because of what he said and what I learned. That's what I have to do. I've got to have open ears, open eyes, and an open heart to hear voices that I wouldn't normally hear and help me understand.
LZ, you watch a lot of NBA basketball. So do I. I thought that was Ernie at his absolute best. What did you think?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, Ernie usually is at his absolute best. You know, as you said before, he's a pro's pro. And, you know, a lot of us have grown to love him over the years and the way that he anchors the show, the studio shows, and the coverage of the NBA. And what he spoke about is real. And, you know, there's this thing that happens to people when they open their eyes and their hearts. It takes them from the place of being complicit or just having sympathy, and it allows them to get closer to empathy. You know, and you know how it is. We're all men. There's this scientific reference that talks about there's a real tangible thing that happens to a man when he sees another man get hit in the nether regions. We all instinctively go, ooh. We, you know, it's a scientific thing. We all go, ooh. And we do that because we know what that is, right? So even though we didn't get kicked, we still bend over as well because we empathize with that. And the only way you are able to empathize with that is by opening yourself up so that you can allow another person's perspective and pain to register with what you know is pain. We all may not necessarily experience racism in the same way in this country, but we all know what it's like to be unjustifiably othered in some way or another. We all know what it's like to feel as if you're on the outside looking in. We've all had experiences with that. But the only way we're going to move past this instance of race in this country is by having more people empathize. And you do that by doing what Ernie Johnson is saying, which is listen. Listen. Stop yell button in your head. You know the yell butters. You're talking, they're already thinking about a rebuttal, not even listening to the words coming out of your mouth. Listen. You know, I know it's uncomfortable. I know it's uncomfortable. I know you may lose some things. I know that on your social media posts, if you were to say Black Lives Matter, you might get some calls from your people in your neighborhood challenging you. But you know what? They need to be challenged. It's not good enough to be non-racist anymore. You have to be anti-racist. Non-racism doesn't cost you anything. Non-racism allows you to enjoy all the privileges of being white, of white privilege, without having any of that nasty guilt aftertaste. That's what non-racist is. You need to be anti-racist. Skin in the game. Fight. That's what you need to do. And that's what Ernie Johnson's talking about.
Yeah, Keyshawn, I thought Ernie's best point was you can be completely 100% respectful of the flag and revere it. But I thought his phrase, you can't use it as a blindfold, was really good.
Yeah, and that's speaking to all of the individuals that tried to hijack the message. You know, you hiding behind the flag. You want to make it seem like it's something totally different to get the message off course. And when you have people that understand that, because you can't make you can't make people understand anything. You can't be stubborn at it. But what we can do is we can try to educate them to the best of our abilities. But as you know, and I know, and LZ knows, at some point you get tired, and this is what we're seeing. We've been trying to educate. We keep trying to tell. You know, it boils down a number of things. You know, you tell us we talk too loud. Okay, cool, no problem. We talk louder, be quiet, we still get grief. We litigate, we still got a problem. Say, okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do now. We're going to protest even louder. Oh, shh, be quiet, don't say anything. We want y'all just to be quiet. There's no need for protest. We turn that into, we want to sell it as violence because we peacefully protesting. Then we want to sell it as violence. We do all of the things that ones ask us to do, but yet and still you hide behind the flag and try to turn it into something. All along America was supposed to be free. We're supposed to be able to express and do these sort of things. That's what I thought growing up. That's what I was always taught in the third grade, standing up, you know, pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America, you know, that
right,
whole deal
sure.
Right before you go to class.
The thing about everything that you guys are saying, LeBron sent out a short tweet that a lot of the Lakers retweeted last week. And the message was simply, if you're not with us, we're not with you. And that gets back to the point of people are tired, Key. You just said it.
Yes.
People are tired, and they're tired of asking for it. They're not asking for it anymore. You either get it or you don't get it. We're either going to come together or we're going to fracture. And the only good thing that happened this week was when I looked out into those faces of the protesters that LZ was walking with, I saw different colors and different races, and it makes me think we're going to come together. Sure hope so. All right, coming up next, is baseball going to screw this up? Really? Are the owners and the players not going to compromise? And are they going to watch basketball, football, hockey, even soccer restart while these two sides sit and argue over money? It seems like it could happen. We'll get into it next. Keyshawn, LZ, and Travis on 710 ESPN.